Everyone, I'm Rachel here with Ari, and we're your hosts for the Merry Writer podcast. This week, we're on episode 212, and we're asking, how can you lower your word count? Before we dive into the topic, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening if you haven't already. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with friends and feel free to write a review. So last week, we talked about how you can stretch your word count when writing your novels. This week, we have decided to talk about cutting your word count because sometimes when we write the first draft, it's easy to over-explain things and you can just go on and on and on and on, just like Rachel. We don't want to be like Rachel. We don't want any rambling here. So one of the major things you can do to cut your word count if you've gone over is ask yourself, what do the readers need to know? And as I said, as writers, we can easily overexplain the way a character looks and how they act. We can overpaint the picture of various settings in our novels. So ultimately, you need to decide what's filler. Decide what is important for your readers to know. Everything else you can take out. And this is obviously easier said than done because while there are certain things that you want to add to your story, it might not actually add anything to your story. And it's so easy to, info dump. It's so easy to info dump on your readers and throw in random fun facts about your characters that while it's fun for your readers to know, it doesn't actually add anything to the story. So cut those out because you can always use those for a later book, or you can use them as bonuses for like your Patreon or email newsletter or whatever you have.
Yeah, I think, especially if you're like a fantasy writer, you're doing world building, it can be easy to repeat yourself. And since I am an overwriter and because I don't write linearly in chapters, I write in scenes and I bounce around, I can sometimes forget that maybe I've described the Sky Palace in great detail in chapter 6. And then I bounce to chapter 12 and I, you know, on several days or weeks later, and then suddenly I'm describing the Sky Palace in incredible detail. And it's like, I don't need the two of them. There is enough detail in one piece to give the character, to give the reader flavor, to give the imagery. So as well as, do they need to know it? Have you already said it? You know, I mean, I know we're supposed to keep the readers informed. You don't want to tell everyone at the very beginning, this is what the character looks like, this is what some of the world looks like, and then never mention it again throughout the book. I hate books like that because I always end up going, what does she look like? I have no idea what this guy looks like. Who is this person? I can't remember what they look like. But at the same time, if you're giving a load of details at the beginning, do you need it? Like Rachel said. And also, pepper them through. Don't go again and say, oh, this is what they look like again. Oh, and here's all the other details of what they look like. So be aware of repeating yourself, especially if you are bouncing around your book and you're not aware that you've written something over and over again. Because at the time when you're writing it, it may not feel like you've written it before. Because that's my issue. That's what I do a lot.
You know what? I do that all the time as well. I repeat myself so many times. And this is actually where outlining can come in handy. And I know that there are many, many pantsers out there. So obviously, if outlining doesn't work for you, then don't worry about it. But even if you just have notes as you're writing the story, so that you can say, in this chapter, this was explained. This happened. This is a plot point. Whatever. That way, later on down the road, when you're writing other chapters, like far into the novel, you can kind of look back at your notes and see, oh, this was already explained. I don't need to explain it again. Something else that I do, that Ari, that you just mentioned about repeating yourself, I do repeat myself, but then I also explain why I'm writing what I'm writing. Like if a character does something, I will say, oh, they walked into the room because blah, blah, blah. And the reader should be able to tell why the character is doing something based on context clues surrounding whatever is going on in the chapter, or just based off of the character's personality. There are other ways to show that you don't need to hold their hand throughout the entire process. Again, during the first draft, you're more than welcome to do that, especially if it helps you write, because yeah, it does kind of help me write when I over-explain those things. But then when it comes to lowering your word count, those are the things that you definitely want to get rid of. You don't want to hold your reader's hands.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I have done that. I've also done that thing where I've gone on and on about things like, oh, they did this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Does everybody need to know this? Do I need to paint this big a picture? And the answer is no. But as Rachel said, the first draft needs to be shit. Get it all out as much as you can. So don't try and edit yourself while you're doing your first draft. And I appreciate I need to take my own advice on this. But yeah, put as much in as you need and then look over it and be like, oh my God, do they need to, you know, they're in the kitchen making breakfast. Do I need to see that they're making the toast and that they put the toaster down and they've got the butter and they've got the jam and the kettle's on and the cup's out and they're now spooning in coffee? It's like, no, we don't know that. It's like, stop.
I actually do that all the time, especially because I am a heavy dialogue writer. So I actually do, when they're in the kitchen and they're like making breakfast or something, that goes in with my like dialogue action tags. But I get it, unless they're running a restaurant and they're super busy and a cook, another employee just like stormed out and now your character is running the kitchen by themselves. Yeah, absolutely. You can set the scene and show them trying to hustle to get everything made in the kitchen. But 9 times out of 10, no, you don't need to know that at all. I'm just going to pivot a little bit and start using stronger vocabulary. Instead of saying that your character was very tired, say that they were exhausted. Instead of saying that they went to a place they didn't know, say they were in an unknown area. Obviously, use much stronger vocabulary than my examples. Not only does that make your writing stronger, just in general, but it obviously cuts out the word count, because instead of saying very tired and you write exhausted, well, now you got one word instead of two. And you can obviously go on thesaurus.com or check out wordhippo.com and you can type in phrases and just simple words and it'll give you a whole bunch of alternatives and it's glorious.
With the thing about like using a stronger word, like very tired to exhausted and things like that, I always love things like that. One of the things I'm going to add that's a little bit like tied in is if you're describing or showing a character's emotions, you know, like maybe they're angry, so they're, you know, clenching their jaw, throwing something. Maybe you stated that they were furious. Be aware of how many times you need to show or say that. You know, if you've said that they're furious, if you've shown them, you know, clenching their jaw, do you need them throwing a glass? Do you need them shouting? Because you've already shown it. And again, I think we get so much into the show, don't tell, that we can end up going, oh, look, they did this and this and this to make them angry. It's like, okay, we get it. They're angry. You know, we get it. We don't need the bulging eyes and the veins popping out of their head and the fists clenched. So things like that need to be cut down as well, because you don't need to over-explain. Unless you do. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's something you really, really want to show.
No, that's actually a really good point, because how much showing is too much? Just like with telling, like I said earlier, where you're holding the reader's hand, there is such a thing as too much telling, and there also is such a thing as too much showing. And it's not always easy to see, because sometimes you write something and it's really, really good. So you want to keep it in there, but sometimes it's not always needed and you just need to make those heavy decisions to cut something out, which this pivots to my final point, especially since Ari just said this. And I just did it as well. Get rid of the filler words. We both just explained something and used really, really, really to describe something.
I did notice that.
Yeah, I know. You said it. And then I was like, I'm going to call Ari out. And then I did the exact same thing. So I'm guilty of it as well. But get rid of those filler words. Really, very, that, just. That's all I could think of. Right now, I'm sure there's more, but sometimes those words don't really help a sentence out. Sometimes they do, but 9 times out of 10, they don't. So you can cut them out. And that can actually get rid, actually is probably another one, that can actually get rid of a whole lot of words, especially if you're like me and you use that a lot, you use just a lot. I've gotten better at not using really and very, not when I'm speaking, apparently, but in my writing. But that and just, you use stronger words. This goes along with the stronger vocabulary. Get rid of very instead of very tired, exhausted. I can't think of any other vocabulary words that mean tired. But you get my drift.
I'm just going to say, you technically could have edited out the things we said, but instead you decided to keep it in so you could shame us both for what we did. We could have had it edited.
It absolutely has nothing to do with the fact that I just didn't want to edit it out. That would have been more work for me.
I am totally with Rachel on this, especially because that seems to be my weak word. I use it all the time. As I was reading the script and I saw that, I went back to the manuscript I've just finished and I was like, yep, I remember so many that's. And most of the time, if you take a that out of a sentence and then reread it, it doesn't change. Obviously, sometimes it will, and that needs to be in there. That needs to be in there. But if you're unsure, take it out and reread the sentence out loud. Does it sound fine? Then leave it. And for filler words, I would definitely recommend doing a search on very first, because that's the easiest one to get rid of. If you've got very somewhere in your manuscript and you do a search and just start going through them, you can easily get rid of them by using a stronger word. I'm going to add one more point in, and that is dialogue. I find that dialogue is a sneaky place where we waffle. Most writers waffle in dialogue. I know we might info dump in prose, but dialogue is where we might kind of go round the houses a bit. And that's why you should always read your dialogue out loud. If possible, to somebody else, because it's a little bit easier, but you can usually tighten up dialogue, especially if you've got a villain monologuing or just a regular character monologuing, or there's an argument going on. It's like, can you sharpen it? Can you tighten it? Are there words you've used that don't do anything? They didn't make an impact. They didn't push the story. Is it just filling up the scene with dialogue? So that is something, after you've checked what you've written, after you've made your vocabulary stronger, after you've got rid of your filler words, just go back and check your dialogue. Because I think we have a habit of thinking, oh, dialogue's fine. It's where the action comes in, the interaction of characters. So it's, yeah, it's fine. Maybe not. Just double check it.
I agree with that. I usually read my manuscript out loud during every editing process, but at the very least, I would read it out loud during maybe the final process, because it helps a lot with proofreading. And it's not just dialogue. It also is like the description, the narrative, the prose, you know, every little bit of the manuscript. But dialogue especially, I agree with Ari, because it is so easy to make your characters sound like a robot and sound like they have no emotion whatsoever, because you think you're showing the emotion through the dialogue tags and through their actions. But when you read the dialogue out loud, it's like, do people really talk like that? No, then let's change it. And sometimes I feel like that can stretch a word count a bit if you're changing the way that they're speaking. But I feel like 9 times out of 10, you'll be able to cut things out and then shrink your word count down to size.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that just made me think of something. If you're struggling to get your word count down, if you use a software, like Pro Writing Aid, something that helps to catch your passive voice that will tighten up your sentence structure. If you're struggling, I would use that as well, as something just to kind of, obviously you don't have to take what the app or the whatever it is the software tells you to take, because sometimes I've used one of them and it's tightened up the writing, but it doesn't work in a novel. You know, it's just like, yeah, they wouldn't say that. You know, it's like, oh, it has been omitted. No, they're not going to say that. I guarantee they wouldn't say that. Not included, which is more likely in that situation. But if you are a heavy overwriter, using a software like that would definitely make a difference for catching some of those long run-on sentences that we all do.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Grammarly, Hemingway app, Pro Writing Aid, they all do help. And Pro Writing Aid, you can set it so that you're writing fiction. So I think it changes up the way that they make their suggestions. And as Ari said, take their suggestions with a grain of salt. It's still your novel and it's a robot, it's an AI, so it's not going to have everything 100% correct. Don't just like check off every single one of their suggestions. Actually go through it and decide what is best for your novel. So with that said, it's pretty easy to cut your word count down, but it is a process. So just make sure you don't have any of those filler words, or you get rid of as many as possible. Use strong vocabulary because it'll shrink your word count, but also make your writing tighter. And just make sure that you're throwing in information that your readers actually need to know without throwing the word actually in. So with that said, I'll stop talking now and we'll turn it over to you guys. What are some ways you can cut words out of your novels? Because I'm sure that there are some ways that we missed. Let us know your answers in the comments and we'll chat about it. And remember, we release a new episode every Wednesday. Next week, we're discussing how long it may take to write a book. To ensure you don't miss it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your way out. As always, thank you for listening to the Merry Writer Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. This podcast is brought to you by Excessive Caffeine. We drink a lot. Music titled Inspired is by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons 4.0.